Our text for this morning, beloved congregation, is taken from Joshua chapter 5, where we left off a previous time, the verses 10, 11, and 12. Joshua 5, the verses 10, 11, and 12, the Word of God. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Beloved congregation, Israel had come across the Jordan River, had been brought over, we may well say. And here they are, Joshua 5, in the land of promise. Last week we noticed that they were called into the bond of the covenant, you may recall. God instructed them to be circumcised since they had not been circumcised for a period of 39 years. Now that painful procedure of circumcision had left them, humanly speaking, vulnerable to their enemies. But the Lord had watched over his people, had put a dread into these enemies. And now as they had recovered from the circumcision, you can almost hear perhaps one of the children asking a father and saying to him, "Is it time now, Father, to go against our enemies?" And the father saying, "No, my son, not yet. There is one more thing that God wants to do. And he is going to do it. What is it, Dad? He's going to feed us. He's going to bring us to his table, as it were, before we as his people go into battle. A meal? Yes, a meal. Actually, three meals, as we will see this morning. And we will consider this brief text by way of the theme, God's Table Facing Battle. A wonderful Passover meal, first of all. A first Canaan meal. And then thirdly, which we will consider briefly at the table of the Lord this morning, the last manna meal. So God's table facing battle, a wonderful Passover meal, a first Canaan meal, and then thirdly later, the last manna meal. So first of all, a wonderful Passover meal. Verse 10, let me reread. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And notice, first of all, that this is according to the regulation that God had given to his people. Why celebrate the Passover? The Lord had put it on the yearly calendar for his people. Because on that calendar, the Lord had said that on the 10th day of the first month, they had to choose the Passover lamb from their herds. And that Passover lamb had to be a male, had to be 1 year old, had to be without blemish. Remember? A faultless lamb. Now that 10th day was the day on which they had crossed the river Jordan. Think of that. And now it was the 14th day of the first month. Here they were to celebrate the Passover. And so they did, as I just read again. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even, in the evening, in the plains of Jericho. What can we learn from this? What must we learn from this congregation? This lesson, that our lives always need to be regulated by God, by His Word, by His book. And as the Lord had now just reinstated circumcision after 39 years of neglect, so He reinstated the Passover after 39 years of neglect. God had brought His people out of the house of slavery. And God had given them all the instructions. And God had commanded His people to commemorate that year by year, commemorate that deliverance from Egypt. And they had that first meal in Egypt. And then a year later, again. Now think back. First in Egypt, after all those plagues. And Pharaoh would not listen. He had refused to let the people of Israel go until that 10th plague, remember? When God had intensified the ferocity of the plagues, and that last plague, that was the judgment falling upon the firstborn of Egypt. But God had said that He would pass over, the angel of death would pass over the children of Israel if they did the following, namely sacrifice the lamb, if they would sprinkle the blood of that lamb upon the doorpost and the lintel of the door of their home, and if they then would make a meal and eat a meal of unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and a roasted lamb whose blood was on the doorpost. And if they would be dressed for journey, for the Exodus. So you could say, if they would display the obedience to the Word of God in faith, nothing of self, but all of the Lord. And that's how it went. The lamb was given in the place of the firstborn. The lamb was the substitute. The lamb redeemed the firstborn son. And Israel had to learn the lesson. We as a family, we each and all, we deserve death. We deserve eternal death. But the Lamb has died in our place. And that's how they remembered in Egypt God's mercy to them. What mercy He had passed over them and was leading them out and had let them out. And they were to remember this annually, continually. They were to keep the Passover. Now the next time they did that was a year later at Sinai, at the end of that great covenant ceremony in which God gave His law, gave His covenant bonds, gave them His teaching. There they kept the Passover. But after that, after some traveling, with murmuring and longing back to Egypt and the food of Egypt, Israel rejected God and rejected the Lamb and did not celebrate the Passover. So that was 39 years ago. For 39 years, no Passover. Now they had crossed the Jordan River. They had entered the land of promise, Canaan. And the Passover spoke of that journey. Every journey goes somewhere. Every journey has a destination. And their destination was Canaan, the land of promise. So that, first of all, they now celebrated the Passover according to God's spelled regulation. And secondly, they did it in order to remember. It was an entirely fitting thing for them to do, that this gospel ordinance should be remembered at this time. At this time, right in the face of the enemies in Canaan. And this Passover said to the people of Israel, do you remember God's last deliverance? Take comfort from it for your next deliverance. And so often, the remembrance of the past is an excellent preparation for the trials of tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and all the future. And that's, congregation, why this morning there is this table here in the midst of the congregation. And in a little while, we'll be sitting there. And then God will be speaking. And He will say to you and to me, do you remember what I did then and there on Calvary? When I spared not my son. Do you remember what I did in his dying and rising? And it gives us great support, congregation. In a little while we may sit there and we may remember, and we must remember what? The grace of the Lord. We may remember how we came through, how He spared us till this day, how He kept us, how He refreshed us. And thus we can face the battles right from here on. Ahead, we have new conviction, fresh faith in our Lord, and strength in that faith. That's the reason they kept the Passover there. In the land of promise. Their faith was strengthened as they did so. It was to them a means of grace. So that was the first table there. The Passover meal. But there was another table. The first Canaan meal. Verse 11. And they did eat the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. Now, congregation, the Word of God does not give us much detail here other than what's given us here. But we do know from the Old Testament that after the Passover, there would be the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in which the people would eat that bread that contained no yeast in it. And just as they kept the Passover according to the Word of God by His regulation, so they continued now in this regulation of God. And then there is something very important for you and me to note. First of all, that what He gives them to eat is old wheat. Maybe you think, I don't know if I would have eaten it. That doesn't sound very tasty. But The word old here for old wheat does not mean bad wheat. The beautiful thing was that it was the corn, the grain, the wheat that was already there. They didn't have to harvest it. It was ready there for them to eat. The Canaanites had harvested it a year before. And now, these Canaanites had all fled behind the walls of their cities. And they were leaving the crop from the end of last year just out in the open for the people to eat. It's something like we read in the book of Kings. You may remember it, boys and girls, the account in the days of the prophet Elisha, when outside the city of Samaria, and there was a starving city of Israel, there were lepers outside that city. And then one night the army of the king of Assyria fled, and the lepers were so hungry. And what did they say? They said, let's go to the camp of the Assyrians, because if we stay here, we'll definitely die from hunger. Let's go to the Assyrian army. Perhaps they'll give us something. And then when they got there, they did not find the army, only the food. All sorts of food ready to pick up. And they found the enemy had fled. And they were eating and they were taking things away of value. And then they said, we are not doing right. We must tell the people of the city. But it's the same kind of picture, isn't it? What was happening here in the land of promise? Joshua is leading the nation into the land of promise. And God provides this second table for them. And that's also the table before us this morning, congregation. At this table there is food that you have not labored for. Neither, of course, is it food from the enemies. But it is food that God has provided, that Christ has obtained, that Christ has become himself, you could say. When he did battle on Calvary against the enemies of your soul and body. And here at the table of the Lord this morning is ready-made food. You don't need to plant it. You don't need to sow it. You don't need to harvest this food. Just like the old corn there in the land of Canaan. It's ready here, ready to be had. In faith, that is, in faith. As a full provision for every spiritual need. So that first of all with regard to this second table. Old wheat. But to be eaten in a new way. Remember that. Israel was not to eat this food like the Canaanites had been eating it. And that's why Israel now ate this old corn in an unleavened way, unleavened cakes. What's that a picture of? The Lord Jesus speaks about that. Paul speaks about it. That is to be without the leaven of hypocrisy. Without the leaven of wickedness. That's how Paul speaks about it in 1 Corinthians 5. They were to eat it thankfully and with sincere hearts before the Lord. Oh, congregation, what a gracious God the Lord is. How he provides a complete salvation. What a day that day must have been back there in the land of Canaan to celebrate the Passover with the enemies looking on and being terrified to eat The old, in a new way, with the enemies looking on. Now, if you are a Christian, beloved, then you have enemies. And you have enemies of your soul. And they are looking on this morning. But thank God that all they can do is look on. Well, God says, here is my table. Here is Christ, your Passover, who has been sacrificed. Take, remember, eat. His blood cleanses and renews by His Spirit. It makes you right with me. And no enemy whosoever, will be able to bring you down to destruction. Remember and believe. And not only that congregation, but also this old corn. You have not labored for it. It's here. It's already. Come and eat it in a new way. All has been done. Come, Israel of God. Come, all you who have put your trust in the Lord without the hypocrisy of wickedness, of insincerity. But come, for all things are ready. Amen. Just a few thoughts, brothers and sisters, on the third table. Verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. You will remember that after the Lord had brought his people out of the land of slavery, it wasn't all that long till they were so bitter about it all towards the Lord. Especially because they didn't have the kind of food that they had before, and we want bread. And you may recall that then the Lord gave them bread. And they didn't have to go to the store for it. And there they all stood, but he brought it right home to their tents. They had to come out of their tents. And they had to take it, and they said, what is this? And they ate it all these years. God's provision on the journey. And as I sit here with you at the table, I have to think of John 6, where Jesus says in verse 48, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus said in verse 53, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Think of the manna as pointing to the Lamb. The Lamb was the sacrifice whereby the boys, the firstborn, were spared. And God's people were allowed to leave this land. But before they left, they had to eat the Passover lamb. The Lord gave the food for the journey. And the manna was food for the journey. Especially when you think of it, you want the food They'll make you eat and drink, and you don't have to do anything for it. But I am the manna from heaven. You could even say, I don't know if you think of it, but you know, when you eat your breakfast, that comes by way of the cross, doesn't it? We know the Lord needs to bless our food, so we say grace, we pray the Lord for his blessing. But every supply on the road is by way of Jesus Christ. But especially the supply you need to die to your old self and to rise to him. It's in Christ. And actually, that's what everything that the Lord gives us points to. Oh, good, now I have enough. It points to him. He is the food and drink for his people. He's the Lord who acts. He is more than food and drink for his people. He is, because his people live by his provision, he is their life. And that's what Christ's blood and righteousness is. Food for your soul. Provision for your life. Where is it? Here. In Christ. Where? In this world on which you are traveling. This past week, we were at the funeral of one of us. And Psalm 23 was the psalm. I would say at her request. And we meditated on who the Lord is. Where the Lord is. Psalm 23 pictures it. What the Lord gives and where the Lord leads. Here you have the table of the Lord, who the Lord is, where he leads, what he gives, himself, and where he leads. Beloved, secondly, we need to realize that we are having this third meal in the wilderness, particularly with a view to the enemies, in the face of the enemies. The Lord's Supper is in the face of the enemies, is it not? You can even see that at the Passover, the enemies was Pharaoh, the Egyptians. At the Lord's Supper, the enemies were the Romans, the Jews. Do you also reckon that the enemies at the time of the Passover was Israel themselves? Because they did not only have to be delivered from the bondage of Egypt, but if you think back to the service of last week, the spirit of Egypt in them. Have you never said, I am my worst enemy? And then you mean, I hope, your flesh. So you have the three-pronged enemy. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that the enemy is trying harder all the time? So here you sit at the table of the Lord, and maybe you go home and say, this was refreshing for my soul. But the enemies will get at you. They are determined as long as you are in this life. And here the Lord says to his people, celebrate the Passover. Here we are at the table of the Lord. And the Lord focuses on the manna. But here he says, eat the old wheat. And then there will be a new supply. This was the last time they had manna, right? No more manna. From now on, there was not going to be that daily provision directly from heaven. It was going to be supplied in a different way, but it was still supplied by the Lord in the land of promise. And that's how it is in spiritual life. He does not give the kind of provision in the battle, even as he did with Israel in Jericho, was an easy take. The Lord gave it to them in a certain sense. Ai was much more difficult. And once they had settled in the land, they still had to get rid of many enemies. But the Lord wants you and me today and tomorrow live of the provision that he gives. And that's here. That is bread. But bread is a symbol of Christ. Wine is a symbol of Christ's blood for us. And he wants you to live facing the enemy within and the world around us and the devil. He wants us to face it by Christ being your prophet to teach you. The priest who shed his blood for you and who prays for you. And the king to reign not only for you but in you. That's the picture here. Israel goes into battle now. But not that the strength would be from them, but from the Lord. He gives them the old. He supplied it by way of the enemies. And from there on, he promised a yearly provision. The first fruits of which were to be for the Lord. Remember? Not just for us. But he gives food to fight. I was thinking, and maybe some of us are able to tell me the details, but if you are in a war and you have no food, where do you go? You can scavenge around, but sometimes, where is it? The army, the U.S. Army provides well, but the Lord provides better. Food, day after day, what is it? Is it not his word? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the living bread. Here is my living word. Live by me. That's the meal. And that's a meal, brothers, not only while you sit in your pew here and there. It's a meal as you walk out of church. It is a life in which you look unto our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the manna. For food to fight, having the whole armor of God, which is all supplied by Christ. Take it and fight as a Christian soldier. Now the battle starts. And he gives it in the presence of his enemies. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. He just noticed a moment ago that the food was no more manna. That also gives the picture of the daily provision here, as it was in Canaan. But it also reminds us that there is a day that we leave this life here. Israel was given to live in the land of promise, and yet there they had to die. And yet the food that the Lord gives his people to face the foe is not only for here. But he is for his people there, what he is here, and there in fullness. There will be trees, and the leaves of the trees will be for the healing of the nations. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you think of it today while sitting here, that it could be the last time here. You may not have thought that earlier, because we tend to think that we will outlive others. But we are here but for a little while. And here we are to eat and drink the provisions of the Lord. And when life here ends, if here we may live by the blood and the righteousness of Christ, fed by Him, then death, which is a foe, is the last enemy. And there we may be with Him. And here we say, what a tragedy, 35-year-old man. No, sad, yeah. We weep, we grieve. But when God brings one of His own home, it's there to commune with Him and her, yea, all His people. Again, this food on the journey, Christ. And there, while He is with His people here, I will never leave thee. There you will see His face and be with Him forever and present you to the Father. And I don't know how to picture it, but you will be presented without blemish. Glory be to God.